Some sermons that I preach to you, we might call a feel-good kind of sermon. In other words, as you leave, you've heard the Word of God, and you just feel good about what has been said to you. You feel encouraged. God's Word has been spoken, and you're reminded of the fact that God loves you and that God is in you. And God is with you, and God is for you, and God has an inheritance with your name on it. Some sermons you hear remind you of the fact that you are God's special creation. You are God's child, and you are forgiven because the blood of the Lamb has been poured out for you. And all you have to do is reach out to Jesus. You just put your faith in Jesus. You do not have to earn your salvation. And you hear that kind of a sermon and you're encouraged over it. It builds you up. We like those kinds of sermons. All of us do. We need those kinds of sermons because we live in a world that tends to beat us down and knock us down. And so we come here on a Sunday morning and we hear the Word of God preached and we participate in a worship service like what we've just experienced, and we walk out of here and we think, you know, life is good. God is good all the time. And we just really feel lifted up. I will forewarn you, though, as we get started this morning, this sermon today is not going to be a feel-good kind of sermon. Okay? It's just not going to be. It's going to be a wake-me-up-to-reality kind of sermon. And truth be told, sometimes we need those kinds of sermons. Jesus preached one of those kinds of sermons in John chapter 6 as he offered the invitation hymn at the end of his sermon. Rather than having people run to the front, you know what they did? They started going out the back door. Verse 60 of John chapter 6 says, "Upon hearing this, many of his disciples said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can accept it?'" And Jesus knew what they were thinking. He knew what they were saying, and his response is interesting. He didn't say, hey, hold on. Don't leave. I want to back up a little bit. I want to change what I had to say. I'm going to soften the message because I don't want you to leave. That is not what Jesus said to them. As they're walking out the back door, Jesus' disciples say, "Hey, look, they're leaving." And Jesus says, "Yeah, let them leave." He let them leave. He, in fact, restated his sermon. He held to his guns, so to speak. He didn't make it easier. He, in fact, looks at his 12 disciples whom he has specifically chosen to follow him, and he said to them, "You don't want to go too, do you? If you want to go, go." Jesus was not hesitant to speak the hard truth to people. Today's message is one of those kinds of sermons. Jesus is saying, "I want you to follow me, but know that the world may not like you." Let those words sink in for a moment. Follow me, but know that the world may not like you. I don't know about you, but I kind of like for people to like me. I like it when people speak well of me and they say nice things about me. I like it when people appreciate me. October's Pastor Appreciation Month. I kind of like for you to appreciate me. I didn't know that was going to happen this morning on the video. That's nice. I kind of like that. And it's nice when people send cards and people say things and they do things and say, hey, Kevin, thanks. Don't you like for that? For yourself, for people to appreciate you? When you put forth an effort on something, you like for people to appreciate you. I think most of us are like that. And yet Jesus says, follow me, but know that the world may not like you. And he didn't just say that to preachers. He said that about anyone who would choose to follow him. He said, the world may not like you. In fact, he's more blunt than that. He said this, and I'm quoting from John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19. He said, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. The reality is, Jesus didn't just say the world may not like you. He was more blunt than that. He said the world will hate you if you follow me. They hated me first. Why should it surprise you that they would hate you? You follow me, the world will be malicious towards you. That's what the word hate means in the original language. The world will detest you. The world will mistreat you. The world will be against you. It's interesting, as much as Jesus talked about love and as many good things as he did, he couldn't go anywhere without getting people riled up at him. You notice that as you've read through the gospel accounts? The number of times that people were mad at Jesus, the number of times that people just wanted to get their hands on him. Mark chapter 3, he's preaching a sermon in the synagogue. There was a man there with a shriveled hand, the text says. Jesus had the man stand up in front of everyone. It was obvious that the man had a physical infirmity. What did Jesus do? He healed the man. But instead of everyone dancing with joy, there were people who wanted to kill him, because he hadn't kept their traditions, their rules. He had broken the Sabbath. I want you to watch this video that is taken from a story that Mark tells us in his gospel. Those pigs committed spiritual suicide. How is it that Jesus could do so much good and yet cause so much ruckus everywhere he went? John chapter 5, he healed a lame man who had not walked for 38 years. In John chapter 9, he healed a man who had been blind from birth. And on both occasions, there were people who were ready to kill him. It's crazy, isn't it? And they eventually got their wish. They killed him because they hated him. And the hate just built up more and more and more until finally they put him on a cross. He did not fit into the mold that the Messiah was supposed to be in their minds. And so they killed him. They nailed him to a cross. And he said, if the world hated me, don't be surprised if it will hate you too. And so my question to you this morning is, why would the world hate us? First of all, because we are not to be of this world. In fact, Rick mentioned that in his prayer during the communion time, that we are not of this world. Verse 19 of John chapter 6, Jesus says, if you belong to the world, then the world would love you. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. If you wear the name of Christian, you are not to be of this world. You are to be different. You are to talk differently than the world talks. You are to think differently than how the world thinks. You are to dress differently than how the world dresses. In other words, some of the immodest clothing that the world wears. We should not have that kind of immodesty. What? Why are we to be different from the world? Because of Him who lives inside of us. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. That's Jesus. That's God Himself coming and making their home in our heart. And that should be making a huge difference in our lives. When we gave our life to Jesus, we promised that we would come out of this world. We committed ourselves to be transformed into His likeness. And I understand that is a process for all of us. We don't make changes overnight for the most part, but we should be changing. We should be in the process of becoming more like Him. And you know what? The world has a really hard time coping with someone who's different than them. They'd rather just everybody just go along with the flow. The world would rather for you to look just like them. The world would rather for you to talk like them and laugh at the same jokes they laugh at and tell the same jokes that they tell. The world would rather for you to just blend in because the world feels comfortable with people like that. But when we don't blend in, when we choose to be different, like Jesus has called us to be, the world gets uncomfortable with that. The world is convicted over that. You remember the logo to the Christian film series, The Chosen. You see, there's a few fish that are going in the opposite direction. They're going against the current. And the world is very uncomfortable with you when you're that way. In fact, those who go against the flow of the world are often hated and they end up on a cross. Let me ask you, are you going against the flow of the world or are you content to just blend in? Might I remind you that the crowd is headed down the broad road. The broad road that has a wide gate to it. The crowd is headed towards hell. I don't think any of us want to end up in that terrible place. I want to challenge you this morning to be different from the world, though it will likely invoke the world's hatred against you. I have a good friend named Ajay Lal. Ajay is quite a man of God and a very powerful preacher. He lives in India. And just a few weeks ago, Cindy saw on Facebook an emergency prayer request for Ajay. We were being asked to pray for him. It didn't say why. But I know him well enough, and I've been there where he lives. I know the area where he lives, and I know the challenges that he faces because of his faith. And when we saw that request, emergency prayer request, we didn't know what was going on, but we knew we needed to pray right then and there for his safety and for God to help him. He serves the Lord in an area that is very hostile to Christianity. He's actually had machine gun fire into his home. He's preached with someone pointing a rifle at his head, and they said to him before he started preaching, "If you incite the crowd, I will shoot you." And he chose to preach anyway, to trust that God would get him through that service, that preaching time. I remember one time that I was there in India with him, and we had preached and had this worship service in this particular village, and as was the custom, after the service was over, we were enjoying just sitting and drinking hot tea with the village people. The hot tea was terrible. And we were trying to be grateful for the people's love to us. They were so glad that we were there. Here, have some more hot tea. Thanks. And all of a sudden, we were told to get up immediately, and follow Ajay and his co-workers. Leave the tea behind, thankfully. Just follow us. We could tell there was a sense of urgency. No time for questions, just follow. We boarded our bus and we were escorted very quickly out of that village. And later we found out the reason why. The Christians had scouts out looking, watching, and they had seen a group of Hindu extremists that had been gathering to come and give us trouble. And the Christians, they came and they alerted us to that fact, and they got us out of there as fast as they could. That's the kind of area that Ajay Lal lives in, and always his life is just that far away from trouble because of his faith. So when we heard of this kind of need for prayer for Ajay, we didn't know the circumstances, but we knew we needed to pray immediately. We prayed for God's protection for him. Later, we found out he was safe, but this is what he put on his Facebook page, and I quote, we had three days of mental torture and being chased by the forces of darkness. I don't know exactly what that means, but it doesn't sound like a birthday party. And you say, well, that's India. That's India for you. And yes, that is India. But right here where we live, we are called to be different from the world. And when we are different from the world, we may invoke the wrath of the world. But that's okay. Because Jesus said this through the Apostle John, "He who is with you is greater than he who is in the world." We may invoke the wrath of the world. We may invoke the hatred of the world towards us because of our faith. But He is greater, and He is able to get us through. He is able to help us endure, even through the valley of the shadow of death, if that's what is the case. Let me give to you another reason why the world might hate us. Not only because we're not to be a part of the world, but the world may hate us because we have embraced the truth of Jesus. And what is the truth of Jesus? That there is just one way to be saved. John 14, 6, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." That's pretty exclusive language, isn't it? And I can tell you for sure, folks, the world doesn't like that kind of language. The world gets pretty riled up over that kind of language. To hear that there's just one way to be saved. In fact, the world would just like to cut John 14, 6 out of the Bible. But if they're going to cut John 14, 6 out of the Bible, they better cut out several other verses from the Bible that have the same message. These messages, these verses are consistent with one another. There is just one way to be saved, and that is through Jesus. Acts 4, 12 says, "And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." Let those words sink in. There's only one name under heaven by which we are saved. And it's the name of Jesus. You're going to cut John 14, 6 out of the Bible and Acts 4, 12 out of the Bible. You better cut 1 Timothy 2, 5 out of the Bible. It says this, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus." There's only one mediator. Only one name by which we are saved. And that one name, that one mediator is Jesus. And Peter had come to the realization of this truth. That passage that I referenced to you at the early part of the sermon from John chapter 6. Jesus has just preached such a hard message, and people were leaving out the back door. And Jesus turns to his disciples and he said, "Do you want to leave too? Do you want to go? Go." And it was Peter who stepped up and said, Lord, to whom would we go? It's you who have the words of eternal life." Peter had realized the truth that there is just one way to salvation, and that is through Jesus. And if you're going to cut John 14, 6 out, if you're going to cut out 1 Timothy 2, 5, if you're going to cut out Acts 4, 12, you better cut out the whole chapter of Ephesians 2. Let me read to you a few of those verses. Verse 13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Verse 14, it says, "For he himself is our peace." Verse 18 says, "For through him," through Jesus, "we both," the Jews and the Gentiles, "have one access in one spirit to the Father." The world hates that kind of message. It's so narrow. It's so intolerant, the world says. But you know what? God has the authority to set the rules. He's the Creator. He's the Lord of all. He is the sovereign King, and we are not. We simply need to submit to the rule that he has made. And this rule, hear me say this, this rule is hard fast. He is not going to soften this rule come judgment day. There is only one way to be saved, and that is through Jesus. That means we're not going to be saved by being good. We're not going to be saved by having our name on the church membership roll. Do you hear that? We're not going to be saved by the name over the church door. We're not going to be saved by the fact that we were baptized 25 years ago, but we haven't lived for Him since. We're not going to be saved by our gifts to charity. We're not going to be saved by holding on to Grandpa's shirt tail, who was a preacher, or Grandma's shirt tail. We're not going to be saved by her faith either. We are not going to be saved by our community service. We're not going to be saved by the fact that we have given blood to the Red Cross. No, there's only one blood that gets us into heaven, and that's Jesus's blood, and that we have put our faith and trust in Him and in Him alone. And if you believe that message and you're willing to share that message with the world, which we are supposed to do, then you can expect for the world to hate you. Because when the world hears that message, they cannot stay neutral to that message. Doesn't that make sense? When you say, with love, but with clarity, there's just one way to be saved, and that is through Jesus Christ, the world can't stay neutral to that message. They have to either accept the message or reject it. And if they reject the message, it's very possible, it's very likely that they will reject the messenger. And you say, well, I think I'll just be quiet about the message. I'll just keep the message to myself. I don't want to meddle into other people's business. I don't want any trouble. And so I'm just going to hold it to myself. I'm so glad that some people were willing to meddle into my business. My family meddled into my business. My preacher, when I was a kid, meddled into my business. His name was Harry Pitts. Can you believe that somebody would name their kid Harry Pitts? That's him. That's good old Harry Pitts for you. He died here about 3 weeks ago. I heard that, and I looked it up just this week. I had read his obituary, but I found his picture. That was my preacher when I was little. He baptized me. And when I heard that he died, I bowed my head and I said, God, thank you that he was willing to meddle into my business. And then I was thinking this week of the number of people who meddled into my business and helped me find Jesus. And there was a gal named Barb Arnold and her husband Jim. They were Sunday school teachers of mine when I was in the fifth grade. I don't have her picture. She died about the same time Harry died. And I'm just thankful that she was willing to meddle into my business. And you know what? God's called you. He's called me to be willing to meddle into other people's business because souls are important. People's souls are important. And if we don't meddle into their business and help them know that there's just one way to salvation, Jesus Christ, then they're going to go to hell. And they'll be wondering for eternity why you didn't meddle into their business. Oh, we can be silent. We can choose to be quiet about it. But if we choose to be quiet about him, Scripture says he'll be quiet about us at come judgment day. Matthew 10, 32 and 33, "Therefore everyone who confesses me before men, I will confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven." It is our job to meddle into other people's business, and particularly the business of their soul. Will you follow Jesus and risk not being liked by the world? Let's pray together. Lord, I'm thankful for people like Harry and Barb and Jim. And I'm especially thankful for my mom and dad and my sister and my brother that meddled in my business. Help us to be that for others. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.